can train your communication skills in an immersive virtuality experience, for example. You're set in an authentic, realistic environment and context, and you can train your skills, your conversational skills, by talking to a virtual avatar. The avatar responds in a natural way. It feels more authentic. It also feels safe. You can make mistakes. It doesn't matter. Nobody will judge you. But also you have a very personalized experience because there's tailored support, guidance for you when you need support. And these are all elements which I had to miss out on during my education. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that it would have been beneficial to me and other students to train in such, with the affordances of these immersive virtuality technology.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hey, Brad.
Hi, Tiffany. Glad to be with you today.
This is going to be fun. We have a guest that was handpicked by our producer of the show, Mike Jones, and we can tell by the questions that he is going to be geeking out behind the scenes while we geek out on the scenes. So it is great to have you on the show, Carl Buhl.
Carl Buhl has over 6 years of experience in immersive learning, learning and training using immersive technologies such as augmented, mixed, and virtual reality. In his day-to-day practice, he blends research with field experience. Carl is a researcher on immersive learning at Thomas More University of Applied Sciences and obtained a PhD degree on the topic in 2023. He leads several research projects on XR, both domestic and internationally. Carl was the main author of a framework aimed at implementing XR in education on a national scale, the world's first. In 2017, he founded Virtual Learning is Reality as an independent XR consultant and has designed, developed, and tested multiple learning experiences for companies, organizations, and governmental institutions. While doing so, he noticed the need for scalable XR solutions, which led to the birth of Dexer in 2022, a no-code authoring tool to create your own XR training, guided by evidence-based instructional design principles. With Dexer, he aims to democratize XR for learning, supporting widespread adoption of XR technologies in education and industry training. Finally, he continues to expand his XR network as co-chair of XR Valley, content curator for Immersive Tech Week, and as a member of the organizing committee of the Immersive Learning Research Network. We're thrilled to welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast, Carl Buhl. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'd like to spend a little bit of time getting to know you better with some questions that are not represented on your resume or on LinkedIn. But first, we want to say congratulations on attaining your PhD in immersive learning last year. Can you share with us your biggest takeaway from your dissertation?
First of all, thank you for that. Yeah, I invested which factors are barriers and drivers for the adoption of immersive virtuality by teachers and students. Mm. And we witnessed that lots of teachers and students are highly acceptable to this technology and education. They really see the benefits for their teaching and learning process, and they really want to implement it in their education. However, of course, they need support, both in terms of hardware, software, professional development in digital and pedagogical skills. And building on these insights, we were asked by the Ministry of Education in Belgium to design a framework to tackle these barriers. So we drafted the framework and it was approved. And subsequently, we were granted 6.5 million euros to actually implement the plan. And right now, over 20,000 students are actually learning with XR. And that's something I could have never imagined, that the work of my PhD would have such a big impact. And this is what I'm really proud of, actually.
Wow.
I must admit, in our pre-show, Carl kindly asked me what framework I used when studying adoption in technology, psychology, and learning. And I said, framework? Oh, man, I'm going to have to rack my brain. But now it makes so much sense why you asked that question. Your framework is something we can't wait to see. And it's exciting how it turned out for you and your colleagues and students across Belgium.
Yeah, we published it in open access. So actually, it's available to all of you.
Wonderful. Awesome. Wonderful.
So for our listeners, I just want to mention from this point forward, we'll be doing the remainder of the podcast in Dutch and we'll have English subtitles. So just bear with us and read along.
Oh my.
Oh, it's going to be a long morning. Let's set aside academia for a moment. Carl, what do you do outside of work? What do you do for fun?
What am I doing for fun? Well, actually, first of all, I like to read novels. Yeah. I'm a big fan of reading. It's comforting. I also love to go to metal concerts. I'm a big fan of Lego. And when there's even some time left, I like to play The Legend of Zelda.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, that's a well-rounded person we're talking to today. Those are all awesome.
And I'm guessing these interests run in the family because you told us in the pre-show, I'm telling on you right now, that you're in your son's room right now. And I can see like a novel and movie poster in the room. I don't know if that's a Lego display in the background, but yes, I think you're handing this down, aren't you?
Yeah. My sons are into all of them also. So it's nice to see.
That's fun. Okay. We couldn't help but notice that you and Brad have something in common besides the metal ink. Tell us a little about one of your favorite tattoos.
At the moment, I have 7 tattoos, but I have lots of skin left. So this is not by far the last one. And I'm very fond of my Legends of Zelda sleeve. So my right arm is fully covered in Legends of Zelda tattoos. It was also my first tattoo. Yeah, but it's kept me enthusiastic about it. Yeah, wow. But that is something I'm really proud of. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So from hobby to skin.
So when you did the sleeve, did you do it in parts or did you do it all at once? How did you do that?
No, it was a bit too expensive to do it all in once. But yeah, it was in parts. But I had a kind of a design, a full sleeve design. And so it was in bits and pieces. But it was, yeah, it's one big design, actually. But all elements of Legend of Zelda.
We each tend to step to the beat of our own drums. Or metal when working in creative pursuits. What is your go-to musical genre? You've already shared this. When you're working, and is it different though when you're chilling at home?
Apparently, we have a lot of in common because since my 12th birthday, which is already 1991, I bought my first music album, which was the Kill 'Em All by Metallica. And since then, I've never stopped listening to metal. Yeah, it's something which is actually perfect for me. It's soothing me, it relaxes me, but it also brings me into the perfect flow. It's something, even sometimes I scream or grunt along with the singers and it still gives me goosebumps. But yeah, it's something which is relaxing, but also keeps me thriving. And it's also very nice to see that now I have 3 sons and they're all also into metal music. And now we even go to metal concerts together. So that's really awesome. Yeah.
Well, let me share a quick Lars Ulrich story then. Tiffany's well aware that Lars Ulrich is the drummer for Metallica. It's one of her favorites, one of her favorite drummers. But I heard him, he was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, inducting Deep Purple. And he tells the story that when he was 10 years old, his father took him to a Deep Purple concert, changed his life. Next morning, he went out and bought the album, and that was it for him.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's the same for my children. Because they have to listen to the metal music all days long. But apparently they now like it. And yeah, it's even interesting to see that they point me to metal bands I hadn't heard of myself. So now it's going the other way around. So yeah, I'm learning from my sons actually too. So that's really awesome.
Oh, that is awesome. So Carl, you recently authored a book entitled Virtual Reality from Hope to Reality. In it, you discuss XR and how it's being used in industry and education. What technology implementation of this type do you wish had been available to you as you pursued your degrees?
At university, I studied Germanic languages. I have a master's degree in Germanic languages, Dutch and English. And one of these challenging tasks in my education was communication, conversational skills, having a natural conversation. And back in the days, already 20 years ago, we had those awkward and unnatural role-playing conversations. It was not very effective. And also, you were highly dependent on the other students' skills. Also, it felt awkward. It was absolutely not authentic or realistic. And sometimes it was even embarrassing because when you made mistakes, everybody heard it and everybody looked at you and, okay, what the hell did you say? So it didn't feel very comfortable. But now you can train your communication skills in an immersive virtuality experience, for example. You're set in an authentic, realistic environment and context, and you can train your skills, your conversational skills, by talking to a virtual avatar. The avatar responds in a natural way. It feels more authentic. It also feels safe. You can make mistakes. It doesn't matter. Nobody will judge you. But also you have a very personalized experience because there's tailored support guidance for you when you need support. And these are all elements which I had to miss out on during my education. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that it would have been beneficial to me and other students to train in such with the affordances of these immersive virtuality technology.
Well, you're not only an author and educator, but you also design courses specifically for the implementation of extended realities. Does this require a complete overhaul to the way that we think about course design, or is it more supplementary in application?
Well, it's a very interesting question. And I really think that indeed it is a distinct and specific way of designing courses. And let's be honest, there is still a lot to be investigated. Now, however, I think we should build on previous design principles which have proven to be effective. For example, the design principles from the cognitive theory of multimedia learning by Richard Mayer, because several of these design principles have been reinstated in VR studies. For example, the modality principle, personalization, segmenting principle, and so on. So these principles are also valid in IVR design. Another good example is the concept of generative learning process, generative learning, also delineated by Mayer and others. Now, generative learning refers to the active processing of the learning content by the learner and is closely linked to another theory of the cognitive load theory by Sweller. And when applied to VR, it actually works in two ways. First, we have seen that a lot of cognitive capacity by learners is lost to distractions, which is called the extraneous cognitive load. The learner is often overwhelmed by all these stimuli, video, 3D object, 3D environments, audio. Mm-hmm. It becomes too much. And I really believe, and it has been identified in several studies too, that as a VR instructional designer, you should really take care to avoid extraneous cognitive load so that the learner is really focused on the learning and not on irrelevant details. For example, especially back in the days, in the early days, lots of developers wanted to create a 3D environment, which is super realistic, super detailed. However, that amount of detail is often distracting the learner from what the focus is on. And it even causes sometimes confusion, which of course has detrimental effects on learning. For example, when you're in an IVR learning environment and you see a door, you want to open it. If you see a piece of paper, students want to throw with it or put it in the garbage. And if they cannot, it confuses them. And then it's detrimental for their learning. As a designer, you should always ask yourself the question, do I really need this in my for the learning of the students? Is it really beneficial to the learner? I've seen so many IVR experiences which look amazing, but are actually absolutely not effective because due to the overload of irrelevant details. Even more, it brings a high development cost too, which is baffling because it does not contribute to the effective learning. So why should you spend time on it developing it? On a second level, again, referring to the cognitive load, we have seen in many studies that VR as a sole means of instruction does not work very good. It does not return very promising results. However, when you complement the IVR learning experience with, for example, generative learning strategies such as post-enactment or discussion or pre-training, then you see that the results increase significantly. In my own research, as an example, we compared three groups of students. The first group first took the IVR experience and then had instruction by the teacher. The second group had the reverse order. So first, they had instruction by the teacher and then the IVR learning experience. And the last group had only the IVR, but twice. Which group do you think had the best results?
I'm going to say one.
Okay. Brett?
I would say two.
Brett, you're right. Yeah, it's the second one. We saw that the last group, which had only the IVR, had the worst learning outcomes. Mm. So this means that the IVR itself does not bring effective learning. We saw an increase in learning outcomes, but not as significantly as the other groups. The first group also had low results. So this means that the idea of, which is a popular idea of discovery learning, okay, let's just put them in this IVR and let them experiment and see for themselves. But this doesn't work very good because a lot of cognitive capacity is lost on just trying to figure out what all these things are. So you should actually immerse the students in a pre-training to set the definitions, to make the concepts clear, and then they can train in the IVR learning experience.
That makes sense. You reminded me, there was a podcast where we met with our guest in his virtual meeting space. We all had an avatar. We picked their clothes. We met him in his penthouse office suite. And at the time, we had another colleague. I won't mention his name, but maybe it's Brady, who was in there. And our different avatars, we just get in the room. We're supposed to be interviewing the gentleman. And all of a sudden, I think it was Brad he's gone. He's not in the room. We thought, okay, maybe his computer or something happened to the network. But come to find out, next to all of the avatars' names were some options that would populate, some text options. So one of the options was kick. We weren't supposed to have that option. It was supposed to be for the executive to have if he wanted to boot somebody. It was being inappropriate or something, boot him out. But yeah, our colleague hit kick just to thinking maybe he could physically in this virtual space kick Brad Garner, which we've all wanted to do at some point in time.
Absolutely.
He hit kick and goodbye, Brad, for the rest of the for the rest of the period. So when you're talking about distraction and cognitive load, we are in it. We do want to experiment with what's going on around us. Check
Absolutely.
It out.
When you put a student in an IVR learning experience, the student looks at everything, wanders through the environment, but absolutely does not focus on what's the learning content itself. So we really should guide them towards this learning content. And this is something, an important element, but I see that a lot of times this is not implemented, and it's a pity.
Before we go on to the next question, just to confirm, when you say IVR, you're meaning immersive virtual reality? That's fine. I just want to make sure that everyone's tracking with that.
Hey, Digital to Learn listeners, we're going to pause here, but we'll be back next week with Carl Houle on the Digital to Learn podcast. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Embrace the future.
Always keep learning.